Recent reports from the Canadian Alzheimer's Society state that the number of Canadians who will develop Alzheimer's disease will double in 25 years to 1.3 million people. They are urging more funding for research to find a means to treat and perhaps prevent the changes that occur within the brain that cause the disease. A new study from Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine, published in the December 26th issue of the journal Neuron, has found when the brain does not get enough sugar or glucose, which can occur when cardiovascular disease restricts blood flow in arteries to the brain, a process is launched that ultimately produces the sticky clumps of protein that appear to be a cause of Alzheimer's disease. I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Robert Vasser, professor of cell and molecular biology, specializing in molecular mechanisms of Alzheimer's disease at Northwestern University Medical Center in Chicago. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on the show.
I wanted to start off asking you to briefly describe the changes in the brain that occur that, at least that we think, that cause Alzheimer's disease, especially in the context of the research that you're doing.
Well, this was work started, actually the idea for it started in our lab several years ago, where we were looking up old papers on Alzheimer's disease and what characterizes the brain during Alzheimer's disease. And it's been known for now over 20 years that glucose utilization in the Alzheimer's brain is deficient. And it's been a great mystery as to why this there is this glucose deficiency. Mm-hmm. We got the idea that perhaps this glucose deficiency in the brain might have something to do with the disease itself, either causing it or perhaps being involved in the progression of the disease. So we started out some experiments in mice where we gave mice drugs that would inhibit the utilization of glucose in the brain. And we found that this caused an enzyme that we study, that we discovered actually 10 years ago. This enzyme is called BACE, B-A-C-E, and this enzyme increases the production of those sticky clumps of protein that you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. which is called amyloid. So this enzyme is definitely, BACE enzyme definitely plays a role in Alzheimer's disease, and it's required for the formation of the amyloid plaques, which is a hallmark lesion of the Alzheimer brain. And so what we found is that starvation of glucose in the brain of these mice causes BACE levels to go up, and consequently amyloid levels go up in these mice. The next question was, which was reported in this Neuron paper, is what is the biochemical mm-hmm. mechanism or process that is responsible for the increase of the BACE enzyme? Because if we could figure that out, we might be able to suggest ways of blocking that increase, and that might be a good thing for Alzheimer's disease. And so what we found is that there's another protein called EIF2-alpha, and I'm sorry for the jargon. And it's just a long jargony name mm-hmm. for a protein that increases the production of the BACE enzyme. So we found that this EIF2-alpha protein is modified during the glucose starvation process in brain cells, both in brain cells when we study them in culture, but also in brain cells of mice. And as it turns out, when we looked at Alzheimer's disease brains, post-mortem autopsy samples, we found the same biochemical pathway increased in Alzheimer's brains. So we made the linkage all the way from cells to the human disease case. And so now we're proposing that this EIF2-alpha protein might be an interesting therapeutic target for the future, for future development, although that is many years away.
I guess the next question is, in terms of hypothesizing why this pathway exists in the first place, given the damage that it causes, there has to be some physiological reason to have this enzyme and protein production in the first place. Is there any hypothesis as to why this would exist in a normal yes. state?
Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right on picking that up. So the EIF2-alpha protein is involved in increasing not only the base enzyme, but other proteins in cells, and that these proteins have a common theme of being increased during cellular stress or injury. So when a brain cell, for example, gets a particular type of injury or stress, then EIF2-alpha kicks in, and it not only increases the base enzyme, but it increases other stress response proteins, which are thought to be protective for the cell during these insults or these stresses. Now, the problem arises. Now, this is definitely a protective mechanism mm-hmm. when the injury or the stress is acute and goes away quickly. For example, you know, if you happen to get a head injury, I hypothesize that this pathway would be turned on, but only transiently, and then it would go away once the injury healed. But in the case of Alzheimer's disease, which is a chronic age-related disease, the stress that is related to aging doesn't go away. You know, we can't Right. cure people of aging. So it's only going to get worse with age. And therefore, this biochemical pathway does not turn off. And that's where the pathological problem begins in Alzheimer's. So the EIF2-alpha protein stays turned on, and that makes sure that the base enzyme remains high, and in turn, the amyloid levels are high. And I think that is the process that pushes Alzheimer's disease forward.
Now, the implication, though, again, under a chronic state of, in this case, the model, I believe, was reduced blood flow to the brain, reducing the delivery of glucose, thereby stressing the cells. Does that imply from a clinical standpoint that people who have cardiovascular disease, uncontrolled hypertension, potentially plaques in the carotid arteries that limit or reduce blood flow, that all these could be potential contributing factors to the development of the conditions that set the stage for this enzyme to continue on an ongoing basis as opposed to responding to an acute situation?
Yes, absolutely. That in fact, is what epidemiological studies suggest. Cardiovascular disease, atherosclerosis, hypercholesterolemia, which means high cholesterol in the blood, and hypertension are all risk factors for Alzheimer's disease. So it's very interesting to note that the same risk factors that contribute to heart disease are the same ones that contribute to Alzheimer's disease. And in fact, the Alzheimer's Association on their website has a little mantra that they tell people, and that is, what is good for the heart is mm-hmm. good for the brain. And so I believe that what this is telling us, our study is probably telling us, that atherosclerosis and hardening of the arteries may be a contributing factor for Alzheimer's disease if it's unchecked. And it's not a very dramatic type of reduction in blood flow from this type of cardiovascular mm-hmm. disease. It may only be a small amount that people don't really notice and does not show up in any clinical event like stroke or heart attack. But over time, and this has also been shown in aging individuals, that blood flow to certain parts of the brain does diminish with age, at least in some individuals. And so what our hypothesis is that during age, blood flow begins to degrade in some individuals modestly without any overt effects, but it does set into motion this stress pathway involving EIF2-alpha, and this leads to a slow buildup of the amyloid, which may take decades before mm-hmm. It turns into Alzheimer's disease. So we suggest, and the other interesting point is that mm-hmm. people in midlife who exercise are protected against Alzheimer's disease. And we think the reason for that is that, you know, exercise increases HDL.
Right.
That reduces cholesterol in the blood. It also improves blood flow to the heart and to the brain. And people who have a good diet and exercise during midlife and keep that up during their elderly years, I think that may account for the protective influence of exercise in Alzheimer's.
What are the next steps now to this research?
Well, the next steps are that we want to flesh out this biochemical pathway a little bit more, and we also, now that we know the biochemical players, there are different genetic and pharmacological tricks that we can use in experiments with mice to be able to prove that this pathway is important for the initiation and or progression of Alzheimer's disease. So we have on the ongoing experiments right now with certain genetically engineered mice that have either knockouts of particular genes in this biochemical pathway, for example, the EIF2-alpha protein, or that have increased expression of other genes that are involved in Alzheimer's disease. And so by intercrossing these different mice, we can dissect out the molecular mechanism of this pathway and really prove in an animal model of Alzheimer's disease that this actually is occurring. Then we do use the animal models as a starting point, but it's not the end point of our studies. We always have to go back to the human disease and ask the question, are these molecular biochemical events occurring in the Alzheimer's patient, in the Alzheimer's brain? And we always need to verify that because our animal models are not perfect. I mean, they're good for what we are studying, but of course, a mouse is a lot different than a human being. So we have to go back to the human case and make sure that what we're studying is really true for humans. And then hopefully the drug companies will pick up on this once we've validated it.
Right.
And they'll start investigating ways of designing drugs that might interfere with this biochemical pathway. At least that's our hope.
Dr. Robert Vassar is professor of cell and molecular biology, specializing in the molecular mechanisms of Alzheimer's disease at Northwestern University Medical Center in Chicago. And Dr. Vassar, I'd like to thank you very much for linking this together. This must be also very intellectually satisfying because although from, as you mentioned, observational studies and even empiric evidence that showed people who exercise, people whose cardiovascular health is better tend to have less incidence of Alzheimer's disease, now there's a mechanism that is being determined to show that this observational data now has a biochemical pathway that relates to it.
Yes, it is very satisfying intellectually for me personally. And also on a personal level, it's satisfying because my mom had Alzheimer's disease, and I am, have really devoted my career to trying to figure out what causes this disease with the hopes that that knowledge will eventually lead to effective therapies for it. So on many levels, it's quite satisfying for me.
Well, Dr. Vassar, once again, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.